Mia, you can talk easily, for you are not in need of chasing for the money. Sanjay's, don't worry, for I know that all will not become as bad as you at this moment assume. Mia, that's of nonsense and gossip use for me. But there likely is little else for me, than to just scoop out this soup. Sanjay's, I know that you are reasonable, because the welfare of your fellow creatures is established inside of you. Mia, this view will likely as well be your logic when I get worked up as a deed body for fertilizer, yes? Sanjay's, you make harsh and peculiar jokes. When pressed for a name, the new communicator said it could be called Artathasata. It now began to take up a good deal of the little time Mia had left over from necessary pursuits, and Mia was becoming disenchanted and wanted out. He had tried and it was just not going to work. He called for a meeting, and the 21st contact took place at 2:06 a.m. on the 27th of May 1975. Mia, there has just been a demand of me to see you and talk to you. At home I am still working and find no calm. The whole day I did not get away from the typewriter, writing the message Artathasata gave me. My wife laid down for sleeping 1 hour ago, and so I can leave undisturbed. I have reflected very thoroughly about what you have told me, but I don't find a way out, or how I can manage it all. Everything is consuming too much time, the contacts with you, then the contact reports which you later transmit to me again, all the tasks and demands which I perform for you, and now still the writing of the messages from Artathasata. All this together is simply very much, and I can no longer earn the livelihood for my family and myself. I already told you once, I live here on the material earth, and not simply someplace in the heaven. You evidently imagine it all too easy in respect to our life, which here depends on financial means, still. Sanjay's, surely, I see your hesitations and problems, but all the matters are nevertheless too important to be menaced by sorrows of that kind. Perhaps you are causing yourself too many problems in this respect, for you will find good friends who will assist you in this. On the other hand, the spreading of truth always has been connected with problems, which should be evident to you. Do once remember all the truth announcers of former times, who had to overcome similar problems. But why are you expressing thoughts in this direction? Mia, why? Dot. I consider that a peculiar question from you. Doesn't it occur to you that I do have to feed my family and keep it alive? I cannot simply let my wife and children go hungry, and there are other things coming together, creating each month new problems. There are running costs for the house, telephone, electricity, insurance, etc. Sanjay's, I hadn't considered all this, because such problems are some strange to us. Under these conditions it is better if we defer at least some things for a while, and continue them in later years. Mia, that is well and fine, Sanjay's, but you are not considering that I grow older and will not live eternally as a miserable little earth human. The discussion then turned to the possibility of the ETs bringing Mia crystals to sell to raise money, and the nature of radiations stored in crystals. If this sounds like a pitch for money now, we must remember that when Mia was making this complaint to the UFO Nauts, nobody was reading these notes, and he was in fact in dire straits. We have tried to put ourselves in his shoes at that time. He was working as a night watchman when this started, and then very soon the UFO Nauts took up so much of his time, both day and night, that he lost his job. Up to this point he had 21 contacts for record, several not for record, and 9 photographic events, all in under 4 months' time, and these events took place in many different places, some very remote, difficult, and time-consuming to get to on his moped. His friends and acquaintances were by now taking up nearly every day and the evenings too, trying to follow what was going on, and he has had to write down hundreds of pages of notes during the same time. He has had the expenses of filming and developing a large number of pictures, supplies to keep going, the extra expenses of visitors using up what little resource he had, and the expense of always running all over the place to deliver and pick up film and for processing, meeting the extraterrestrials and carrying out various errands given him, and still keep his friends from becoming impatient and angry with him. We have come to agree that his objections were well justified. In the 22nd contact on 28 May 75, Mia offered an objection to the form of the contact notes and wanted to improve on them in the future. Mia, I want to discuss something which actually we should have discussed a long time ago. After our contacts, you transmit to me our conversations at only the defined point. You are transmitting to me only the main conversation, while you never send with it the final words, the leaving, the actual private matters, and the welcome as well. The greetings, leavings and purely private things might not be important for the humans and this mission, but we have discussed some things which might be of interest to my fellow creatures. Here I mean those concerns which do not fall into my obligation of silence. Can you not change this? Samjays, if this is your desire, then of course I can. But I did not want to trouble you with too much work. Some private mission discussed things do not really belong in the reports, and some parts cannot be revealed at all. But I could transmit the other matters as well. Mia, I must agree, and I will readily take up the additional work for me. Samjays, as you want it, in these concerns I like to accord to your wishes. Mia, thank you, Samjays. Can you explain to me once now, why your thought transmissions at a later point in time, always appear stereotyped inside me, and why no repeats of any words or sentences appear? In your transmissions I often have very great troubles with the writing, as you just simply keep dictating, and do never repeat even one single word. Your report transmissions reach into my consciousness, as we have done the conversation. Witnesses who have observed the reception of these transmissions report that the writing comes very rapidly and uninterruptedly in a steady cadence, right through to the end of the message. Then followed a serious argument about the withholding of certain information, and Samjays's suggestion that some information might have to be erased from Mia's mind. He became irate and threatened to break off all contacts with them forever if they tried such a thing. A compromise was eventually reached. This was reported in detail in the preliminary report. The 23rd contact on the 3rd of June 1975 was primarily a discussion of law and punishment with an explanation that natural law was everlasting, but that institutional law and associated punishments were as changeable as the times itself, and only half valid for their own period. As a humanity advances, the forms of punishment become more humane. Mere, fantastic. But our mankind in Earth is still too disunited and too corrupt for such a form. Samjays, I already told you so. Mia, but during your explanation I had a quite fantastic thought. Could it be that in ancient times, our Earth, as well, has served as an exile planet? Yes, surely, your assumption is correct. In very ancient times different fallible creatures were exiled from different worlds in this universe to your Earth, as well as from our race also. They then discussed kinds of love and interpersonal relationships between beings of different grades of intelligence and spiritual development, and Samjays mentioned, as she did once before, that intelligence could be developed artificially, and likewise the spiritual nature of beings. Mia. Still another question, Samjays. How great by number is your mankind? Samjays. I can only answer you this question when I explain that we are connected to an alliance which extends itself far into the cosmos. To this alliance belong different solar systems, and the total amount of inhabitants, of the human kind of life, amounts to close to 127 billion. There are still innumerable other intelligent forms of life of non-human character and standard, besides forms of human beings who are unknown to us or with whom we simply are in no communication. In the 24th contact on the 7th of June 1975, Samjays launched into a monograph on the nature of knowledge and wisdom in evolution. Samjays, but I have still another matter which I want to announce to you. All truth and knowledge has remained transmitted and is preserved up to the present epoch, though it may be forgotten, disregarded and lost by the Earth human. And as truth, knowledge, wisdom, and love, and all power of the spirit are unchangeable and constant, and the same in the present, this all must be conceived there and continue up. In other words, truth, knowledge, wisdom, love, etc., must simply be now brought together again. What you call, by an old for you language, the backward relating religion, should, for this case, and what has to be done, by the same old language be called religion. This means that all has to be brought together again, which is, to be considered religiously, but not religiously. In consequence, the already existing materials should be newly assembled, to lead into the future. After the religion must begin the way of evolution, which has a twofold meaning. You know one meaning of evolution as development and unfolding in the sense of something already existing but still concealed that must develop, which in a spiritual sense means must rise from the subconscious towards the conscious. The second meaning of this term has been lost to you for a long time, namely, that something not yet existing is explored, developed and unfolded and becomes. And because this meaning of evolution was lost, man lives under the false impression that evolving material already exists to be unfolded and developed. The indwelling spirit had stored only those matters and things which it collected in the course of its material existence in material bodies and lives. This, according to your understanding, is very much, but in truth is very little. During innumerable further lives, the spirit must explore further, must search, and must find. Thus he must assemble further knowledge, recognitions and experiences, which then establish themselves in him as faculties. Because the spirit continues after the material death of the body, and exists within spheres of living of other worlds, it works upon the achieved results of the other lives, and fixes these results inside it in what you call the subconscious. Upon taking up the human form of life again, the obtained knowledge and faculty is anchored in the subconscious, and must evolve slowly in the human form of life to help in new lessons and recognitions toward developing conscious talents. Mia, then I still want to give you another question. What is the situation with Mars and Venus and other planets? Samjays, there are really existing forms of life there, but they are of other values completely than the Earth being assumes. But, as you speak of Mars, during the last days, I have been there and I found something nice. I have brought it here with me for you. Dash, it is a larger piece of ruby in Zoisite matrix. I have worked on it only gently while loosening it out, gives ruby to Mia. Mia, many thanks, Samjays, this is fantastically pretty. Samjays, surely. But keep it for yourself alone. The next I have here is one piece of my homeworld, which a friend has brought along. It is the piece according to the wish of your friend, which you can give to him. Mia again, many thanks, Samjays. Certainly he will be delighted. Could you just, for my own collection, bring along still a piece of malachite and an emerald? Samjays, surely, but I won't bring the emerald in pure form, as well as no other things of precious values. The reasons lie within your materialistic form of world. The ETs had given me a diamond crystal once before to sell to get some needed money, and it got him into considerable trouble with the authorities because he had no registration or bill of sale to show how he came to have it in his possession. Mia, I already understand, but nevertheless I am thankful to you. But now I must say that I should leave, for my way home is very long, and at 12 o'clock I necessarily must be home. The 25th contact took place at 1:46 a.m. on the 16th of June 1975. Mia was first advised that because of recent new developments the demonstration would have to be modified some, but that the ET still would not screen the ship from the sight of others. Mia was also advised to get attention so that he could inform the public of an urgent matter that needed attention. That matter pertained to the progressive destruction of our ozone belt, which continues to deteriorate more and more. They advised him to prepare a flyer and send it to all the newspapers and information media, and to cry out this menacing danger from the rooftops. He was also to advise that the atomic danger had increased manifold. Mia, you can talk so easily, Samjays, as first I get rebuked that everything I write on paper is too harsh. In the other hand, always the silly question arises, why you should not assist us financially. Indeed, I sometimes could cry and weep, for I consider such things confoundedly unreasonable. I have at times considered simply throwing everything away, and go doing some normal daily work. For first, I am then away from my financial sorrows, and for second I do not have to answer unlogical questions. Samjays, the execution of your task is within your own consideration. If you want to retreat, then this would be unfortunate. On the other hand, we don't tie you by force and coercion, and you are free to decide. Consider, however, that only a very few Earth humans have similar opportunity, and many of these lack the courage to reveal the matters openly. As a human being, it is your duty to tell what you know and to help your fellow creatures this way. You did know from the beginning that it would be difficult, and that others would not just stand by for helping you. In consequence, I consider that you think somehow too easily and too early about ending our concerns. I have. Mia, you really talk easily. Samjays, please let me speak until the end. I see you're being angry, because the success with help is not as great as you expected. There is no need for your anger. Your fellow creatures have to learn first. In your help, I thus want to explain that you should once more deliberate it all very thoroughly and calmly, before taking a negative decision. You have the very troublesome preparation work for those who will come after your time. Consider all very thoroughly until you arrive at a decision, rising not alone from rage. To the illogical questions concerning financial help, they should consider that we have no means of currency as used on Earth. Even if we wanted, we could not satisfy your financial means, which you call money, fortune plays, etc. will never serve, for these are extraordinarily evil. A third important point is that we do not allow ourselves to be provoked by your speeches and questions, because this Earth is your home, not ours. And as far as we are here and want to help the Earth human, within his development, then this corresponds to an obligation which we have imposed upon ourselves and is not a must. Our mission is a voluntary self-obligation. This is from our side, to which is added your side, that the Earth being must trouble himself and must contribute his own money also. The Earth human must take upon himself a certain obligation and bear certain things for himself. It is wrong of him to take out help and assistance without contributing something therefor. If the Earth human acts according to the principle that taking is better than giving, then he will not release himself from his malicious egoism. And the Earthman is egotistical. One and enemas, thus exploitation is written in capital letters on your world. Mia, that is confoundedly clear, Samjays. I still have some further questions. I want. Samjays, by regret I cannot accept them, for I still have to perform some things. You can ask your questions next time. Mia, of course. As you wish. Can you tell me at least, a little better point in time for the now diminished demonstration? Samjays, I have told you already, that I cannot do that because of certain reasons, and I do not want to tell these reasons more clearly. It will be at that point in time when I have to go away for some time. In a restricted part of an earlier contact, Mia was given a detailed description of the damage to the ozone layer surrounding our Earth as a result of our technological age. This was reported in detail beginning on page 56 of the preliminary report of investigation. But, though the contact report was restricted at the time, Mia was urged to bring the matter to the attention of a Professor Michael McElroy of Harvard University in the United States who, the Pleiadians said, is among the foremost researchers on this subject. They further said, because this message and others will be very important for the survival of all life forms on Earth. So Mia is now being urged more directly to get attention so that his announcement of this danger will not escape notice. And this is one reason for ET's bold move to demonstrate their ships in front of other witnesses. That message was so important that we have decided to repeat it here. For many tens of years we have been studying all phases of your world. The ceaseless change goes on, and too there are very dangerous developments. For many years a dangerous change has been taking place in your stratosphere that has a deadly portent for all earthly life. An increasing decay in the ozone belt of the stratosphere is being caused by the continuous production of ozone-destroying chemical substances that rise as gas into the stratosphere and damage the ozone belt. Especially destructive is the brom gas that rises into the ionosphere and slowly disintegrates it. Up to now the average loss is 6.38%. That is a percentage loss that for all life forms is damaging and beginning to cause mutations. This percentage was reached in a time of 60 years only. Especially there are the brom gas substances that slowly destroy the ozone belt as I have mentioned. Because of that, more and more ultraviolet rays from the sun come into the Earth's atmosphere. They will affect all life forms. In over 20 different areas the ozone belt is already dangerous. In 3 different areas there is a danger that it will break up completely in a few tens of years if the production and release of the destructive factors is not arrested. If this is not done by some means, holes will be opened in the protective shield and the unshielded ultraviolet rays will break into your atmosphere and produce slow and torturous death for all life. Everything entering the unshielded area from the hole will be destroyed. Release of the destructive chemical substances comes mainly from explosion motors and from material destroying processes of all kinds, like atom splitting and other processes like that. They have been produced in great mass since 1945 throughout the whole world, and every kind of life is being given a changing gig. Destructive chemical gases are also being released from things of daily life because each aerosol spray can release brom gas and other chemicals. They rise into the stratosphere and slowly but systematically destroy it. Researchers and scientists in several countries are discovering this destructive loss of the ozone belt caused by chemicals, especially the brom gases, but now, in their unaccountable delusion for power, are turning this knowledge to war technical use. Just recently they are preparing to build rocket bodies to carry these destructive brom substances high into the stratosphere to be exploded there, following which very gigantic holes will be rent in the ozone belt letting unfiltered ultraviolet rays into the atmosphere. Such a hole can close up again only very slowly and this process will take many hundreds of years after these activities are discontinued. Also to be considered is the fact that the ozone belt wanders as it circulates. A hole in the protective ozone layer will not only affect a particular area, but in its wandering will affect a very wide area. Your scientists are aware of this situation, but the population at large is not. The duty of your group is to bring this to the attention of governments and scientists and make them aware of the dangers and the need for control. It is in the interest of all humanity and all life on Earth that there be agreements between all countries to stop this deadly insanity. In this respect I refer you to Michael McElroy of Harvard University in the United States, who is among the foremost researchers on this subject. Eduard Meyer made copies of that message and sent one to Michael McElroy at the address provided by those L visitors. He never heard from McElroy, but his letter never came back either. He also sent copies to the Secretary General of the United Nations, and to various departments of his own government and to various local newspapers. None of them ever responded to any attempts at follow-up. In response to subsequent questions by Meyer, the ETs added the following information. The industrial gases most concerned are heavy and rise slowly, some taking years to reach the ozone layer. They pick up one or more ions from the ozone belt and, changing chemistry as well as weight, slowly fall back to the surface, carrying the ions with them. This had gone on since the beginning of our industrial age, but has been increasing on a sign scale with our rapid rate of industrialization, and the further contamination by vehicles of all kinds and most disastrously jet aircraft. This was announced to Meyer in early 1975, and back then they said that they measured over 6% loss present, not counting the dangerous gases already rising, some of which would take years to get there. They estimated that if we were able to stop all contamination at that time, the rising gases could deplete the ionosphere by another 10% or more, enough to produce mutations in all living things. We did not stop. We did not even pay any attention to the warning. Consider now the following information extracted from Science News, Volume 129, Number 9, 1986, Ozone, the atmospheric chemical that shields Earth life from harmful ultraviolet radiation, has had a volatile political and scientific history. Battles have been waged over the extent to which chlorofluorocarbons and other chemicals injected into the atmosphere, primarily by human endeavors, attack the cosmic layer. Predictions of the resultant ozone depletion occurring globally in the next century have ranged from 3 to 18% as scientists work to unravel the mind-boggling complexity of atmospheric chemistry. But as researchers have pored over the data in search of very subtle annual changes in global ozone chemistry, they have failed to notice that the South Pole's ozone concentration during October has dropped much more drastically, by 40% since the mid-1970s. Scientists now know that an ozone hole looms over the entire continent of Antarctica every October and has been getting more severe every year. This effect was totally unexpected, says atmospheric scientist Richard Stulesky of the NASA Goddard Space Flight Center in Greenbelt, Maryland. The big question now, he stresses, is whether the effect is a forewarning of a significant change in global ozone, or simply an isolated scientific curiosity. The chemistry of the ozone layer worldwide is also plagued by uncertainties. But as the recent NASA report concludes, researchers now have compelling observational evidence that trace gases other than CGCs, such as methane, nitrous oxide and carbon monoxide, are increasing on a global scale. And scientists now realize that the trace gases affecting ozone chemistry are the same as those that contribute to or alter the greenhouse warming of the planet. The two problems are intimately coupled. The report, to which 150 scientists from 11 nations contributed, concludes, given what we know about the ozone and trace gas climate problems, we should recognize that we are conducting one giant experiment on a global scale by increasing the concentrations of trace gases in the atmosphere without knowing the environmental consequences. That report was accompanied by a sequence of 6-color maps made by the Total Ozone Mapping Spectrometer, TOMS, on the polar orbiting Nimbus 7 satellite launched by NASA in 1978, 3 years after the Pleiadian warning. They clearly show a 6-fold increase in the size of the ozone hole at the South Pole from 1979 through 1984. If this is not cause for alarm, nothing is. But that is not all the harm being done. If we need confirmation, we need only turn to an article, The Dark Side of the Sun, on page 60 of Newsweek for June 9, 1986, where they show that melanoma, skin cancer, has increased tenfold since 1930, early in the industrialization of this planet. Since 1930, the lifetime incidence of this form of skin cancer has gone from 1 in every 1,500 people to 1 in every 150, the tenfold increase, and mostly in the last 10 years. Stop press. Before returning to our original ET texts, we suddenly find it necessary to suspend progress and continue with the subject of ozone depletion, because only 2 months after the Newsweek article, this subject has become of even greater importance. It now turns out that the scientists who were calling the shots were so surprised and so unsure of their own findings that they watered them down considerably before releasing them, and now they have confirmed the worst. The hole in the ozone layer is bigger than the United States. The following feature article appeared in the Me Republic of Phoenix, for Sunday, the 10th of August 1986, beginning on page 20. Please note the names of the scientists involved. Scientists say I am to find cause of ozone hole by James Glick, New York Times. Atmospheric scientists are struggling to explain one of the strangest mysteries ever to confront them, a widening and potentially dangerous hole in the ozone layer over the South Pole. Putting forward a series of theories, and unsatisfied by all of them, the scientists are making final preparations for a rare research expedition that will fly into the dead of the Antarctic winter next week. At the same time, biologists are reporting heightened concern over the possible dangers to human beings and ocean life from even small increases in ultraviolet radiation, which the ozone layer blocks. Concern has intensified steadily since last fall, when scientists were stunned by satellite data showing the magnitude of the hole, which appears each September and October. The depletion is many times worse than has been predicted over the last 15 years amid concern over the global effects on ozone of man-made gases, such as fluorocarbons.